This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Made it to Friday. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. It's been a big week, a lot happening with the SEC reveal, so much elsewhere. And let's get started with some headlines here on a Friday afternoon. NCAA's multi-transfer athletes temporarily granted eligibility after a judge's ruling. Are you confused? I am. We have a guest in a minute to clear it all up. And Justin Williams from The Athletic joining us. Justin, thank you. I've tried to understand this case. I don't. So I am leaning into you heavily. But I'm not going to say another word. You explain what this is all about.
Yeah, I'll do my best. And I've been instructed anytime I talk about this to make sure to let people know I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a sports writer. But essentially, last week, a complaint was brought by a coalition of seven states' attorneys general. It was led by the Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost, which is why people might have seen this case referred to as Ohio versus the NCAA. And their complaint argued that the NCAA's transfer rule for second time, third time, any multi-time transfers, which requires them to sit out, those athletes to sit out a year in residence before they can play. They argued in this complaint that that was breaching, violating antitrust law. And on Wednesday in a federal court in West Virginia, a judge agreed with them and granted a temporary restraining order. So what that means in a basic sense is that any NCAA athlete who was deemed ineligible by the NCAA at this very moment is now eligible for the next 14 days, or 14 days from Wednesday, which goes through December 27th. So this mainly applies right now to college basketball, men's and women's basketball. If there were any players who were multi-time transfers, whether they were seeking a waiver for immediate eligibility or not, they were made eligible by this court ruling. So the initial sense was that you would see some of these players who hadn't had a chance to get on the floor yet this year, they would be put on the floor and be able to play. It's gotten a little bit more complicated. The NCAA has said that after the end of this 14-day temporary restraining order, if the judge were to reverse the decision and claim that these players are not eligible and they played sometime over the past 14 days, they would basically lose that year of eligibility. You know, in college football, there's the redshirt rule where you can play four games and then still retain a redshirt. They don't have that rule for whatever reason in college basketball. The second you step on a floor, you burn your opportunity for a traditional redshirt. So even though a lot of these players who have been waiting all year, some of them have been fighting to get waivers, have not had a chance to play and were deemed eligible, a lot of them are still sitting out. A lot of schools are still holding them out until we get to this December 27th date, at which point the judge will bring everybody back together, have another hearing. And if he does what most people assume the judge will do, which is basically continue his decision, order a temporary injunction, which would probably last for months. It would go through either the length of a trial or until the rule is changed by the NCAA. That is where you'll start to see some of these players who have been ineligible get on the floor, and it'll have bigger impacts. We can talk about what that will mean for the college football transfer portal, because it will probably have impacts beyond just right now in college basketball.
Yeah, Justin, let's get to what ultimately it could mean, and what exactly are they claiming in terms of the NCAA being unfair about not allowing more than one transfer. Can you possibly explain that?
Yeah, so in 2021, the NCAA changed the transfer rule to allow any first-time transfer to be immediately eligible. You know, for a long time, the NCAA rule was if you transferred, you had to sit out a year in order to play. The one-time rule was kind of basically them giving some ground and saying, if you transfer once, you can play right away, but if you then transfer again and you're not a graduate student, you have to sit out that year in residence. for, you know, the lawyers, these attorneys general from seven different states who brought forth this federal lawsuit, they argued that there's no legal basis for that. You know, they cited antitrust law, which is basically you can't make an uncompetitive situation, you know, for these athletes who can earn NIL money, who can improve their draft stock by playing. So they argued that there was no legal basis for them being allowed to transfer once and play immediately, but then transfer a second or third time and not play immediately. And the judge granted that. So, the you know, like we said, for basketball, the kind of most immediate practical impact is some of these players could get on the floor right now and play the rest of the season. But we also know the college football transfer portal is open. And if this ruling is basically continued, if it's given a temporary injunction in court on December 27th, I think we're going to see a wave of multi-time college football transfers, players who had transferred once before, but now might be transferring a second or third time. I expect we'll see a number of them jump in the portal because they're going to expect that they'll be immediately eligible to play at whatever their next school is.
Justin, I know you said you weren't a lawyer, but you might consider it. You make a lot more sense than the lawyers that I deal with on a regular basis.
I've talked to a lot over the past few weeks, and I could have been a lawyer, but I never got into law school. So
that should not be a factor based on what I see on TV all the time. Apparently, you can work for a law firm in New York without having gone to law school. Before you go, I do want to ask you just about where we're heading. I know you cover the entire cauldron of college football. We're obsessing here about what didn't happen, what is going to happen, but we're finally down to bowl games tomorrow and naturally 2 weeks ahead we're going to be making the move toward Pasadena. Let's talk about those two CFP games and what are you most intrigued by with the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I think they're both going to be two really good games. Obviously, a lot of controversy because of Florida State getting left out. And I think we'll hear a lot about that up through the playoff games. But I also think, you know, college football fans and even more casual fans, as much as they might not like that decision or however they feel about the decision, they're going to be excited when those games get here. For Texas, Washington, I think that's really interesting. You have two really good play callers, Ryan Grubb, Steve Sarkisian, two really good quarterbacks. But, you know, the Rose Bowl matchup between Alabama and Michigan, like two of the most storied programs in college football history. Obviously, Michigan made a bunch of headlines this season. They had, you know, the reaction shot of Michigan when they announced that they're going to be playing Alabama instead of Florida State, and that kind of caused a little bit of a storyline. So I think both are going to be really interesting and good games. But for me personally, as much as it's a disappointment what happened to Florida State for a lot of people, I think it's tough to have a better, you know, marquee matchup in college football than Alabama versus Michigan.
Well, we think that's the matchup. We don't know. With all the politicians trying to get in the middle of the CFP, we may see a few more games. Hey, great to talk to you, Justin. You did a really fantastic job of explaining a complex issue. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Anytime.
Great stuff from our legal expert, Justin Williams. We'll also tell you what else we'll be doing today. There's a very special event happening tomorrow night in Alabama where the 50th anniversary of the first Alabama football team that was integrated to win a national championship. Ralph Stokes was on that team. We'll talk to him. Bill Conley and the Pickle, J.D. Pickle, will explain what's happening in the portal. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and we are taking your phone calls, and we check in with Terrell in Waycross. Hey, Terrell.
Hey there, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to weigh in on the these politicians that are trying to change things that they cannot change. You know, it started with Florida State, and it seems like Georgia's trying to do the same thing now.
Well,
I just wish they'd call you.
I think in deference to Georgia, you have one state senator. That's it. You don't have the governor. You don't have senators. You don't have the attorney general.
Yeah.
So I wish he had shut up, because now Georgia gets thrown in when he is the only politician there.
Well, let me go back. I talked to you last week, and I was complaining about the same kind of stuff. You told me that you said, Terrell, don't pretend we live in a perfect world, because we don't. I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, that's the perfect answer to what I'm trying to say here. And you said, well, what are we going to do? Call our congressman, write him a letter. And lo and behold, they are getting involved in it. I didn't believe that was going to happen, you know. But it seems like they are.
The most dangerous place in the world is between a politician and a television camera. So you're always you're always going to have that.
I get that. But it seems like they were listening to what you said, apparently, because somebody got involved.
I was somewhat joking. I was actually complimenting the state of Georgia Wednesday night, and I guess the good senator heard what I said. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bash is up next.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Bash?
I just want to start my call by saying to you, Paul, thank you for doing the show today. I can tell since yesterday you've been struggling with a slight cough, and the fact that you're here today and you're still doing the show just shows how much of a consistent professional you are. Now, as you know, Paul, I am a diehard Alabama and Denver Broncos fan. And yesterday, after you did what you did, I was a little upset, but then I just went into my bash stash, and I felt so much better. Then I listened to some music, took a little nap, I woke up, and then I watched the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Los Angeles Chokers game. And then I watched that absolute ass beating, and then after I fell asleep yesterday and woke up today, I woke up to the Los Angeles Chokers fired Brandon Staley and their general manager. Now, Paul, a few weeks ago, I mentioned to you after the Raiders fired Josh McDaniels the possibility of Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan after Alabama demolishes the Wolverines on January 1st. And then 6 days later, the Denver Broncos are going to beat the Las Vegas Raiders, ending their season and limiting them to hiring a head coach. So here's my question to you, Paul. We have two head coaching positions between the Chokers and the Raiders, and we have three candidates. Tell me where you think these candidates are going and who they'll be coaching. Bill Belichick, Eric Bieniemy, and Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I think Harbaugh and Belichick are definitely going somewhere. I don't know about Bieniemy. He's always up for these jobs, doesn't ever seem to get them. But I think I've heard Belichick's name connected to the Panthers, primarily because you've got an owner there that is simply desperate for a win. Harbaugh has been linked to Raiders, the Bears, Chargers.
I don't know how the Bears would work if Justin Fields is still going to be their quarterback, you know.
They have the number one pick, so.
So you still think, because we had this conversation months ago, that you still think the Bears are going to go with the new quarterback and move on from Justin Fields?
Well, entirely dependent on who the coach is.
Good point. Great point. I agree with that. So as you stand here, again, who do you think the Chokers and the Raiders coaches will be next year?
Again, I don't cover the NFL. I basically, what I try to do is look at the owners and how desperate they are. The most desperate owner is the guy that that has now fired two coaches consecutively and has had the number one pick and then traded the number one pick away. Hey, thanks for the call. John is up next.
Drink some water there, buddy. I can hear the throat.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul. I miss the Friday campus tours. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Probably glad I'm not at our place today where it's 35 degrees, but
with the wind and all, yeah.
Yeah, but hey, Paul, I do like them.
Yeah. By the way, Friday of next week, my daughter's off that day. Are you going to be doing any your show from Pasadena?
not next Friday. 2 weeks from 2 weeks from now is.
No, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we are not. We will be here, and then head out there right after the show.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, maybe you'll be doing a show. We'll see outside the game on New Year's Day.
Yeah, have a show New Year's Day morning, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to go down to the parade, so we'll try and look you up. But, Paul, I was looking at Murray leaving Texas, and I looked up the NILs. The Manning protege makes $2.8 million. Ewers, who's probably coming back, makes $1.5 million. And Murphy was nowhere in the top 100. So I can see why he's leaving Texas.
Bad deal.
Yeah, and of the top 30, well, actually, the top 25 NIL, 20 of them are quarterbacks, so it's a very lucrative position. But I want to give you a gobsmack note real quick before I go. So how does a team usually go and search for an assistant coach or coordinator? What would your thoughts be, like networking or a search firm?
Well, normally you have depending on if you're a successful coach, you have a bullpen. Like Saban has all these analysts, and Sarkisian was an analyst, Lane was an analyst. So you move them up. People people you've worked for, people you've worked with. That's exactly right.
So Kirk Ferentz, who gets more with less, is what you would call old school, correct?
Correct.
He ran an ad in Indeed for the assistant coach offensive coordinator. You can't make that up.
I've never heard that before.
It's there. I'm reading it right now.
Is that the one?
You must know Microsoft, by the way.
Is that to replace his son?
Yes, his son is gone finally, unless he's got a new position in the program. But I've never seen an ad for a coordinator in a something like Indeed.
Well, it could be that you have to, and you know this, John, you may just have to publicly
post it.
Yeah, put it out
there. But that's usually on the board of the posting on the employer's board, but on Indeed, I'm going to apply. I'm just going to change my resume.
Go ahead. See, by the way, you can do, you could be better. You would likely be better than Farron's son.
Yeah, I know. And I've stayed at Holiday Inn Express. Have a good show, Paul.
Hey, see you in California. Thank you. Susie is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I was watching the Pat McAfee show today, and they had Saban on. Very, very interesting. They showed him getting into one of his many Ferraris. But he made a comment. Friday night, does he invite the parents to his house, and Saturday or Sunday, the players come to eat?
I've heard that, yes.
He was talking about that today, and I thought, how fabulous is that? Do any other coaches you know in college do that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think they do it more than they used to, Susie. You know, there was a time you couldn't do it, and now you can, but... You know, some people would be concerned maybe that wouldn't work. But Saban, you always hear coaches talk about how they need the right house to entertain, and that's why players like to be at. I mean, Saban's house is pretty amazing, as you've heard me say a few times.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And before I get off, I love the montage of the Friday shows that started.
I forgot. I forgot how much fun Friday's really. Of all the things that we do, I think that is probably the most enjoyable because we. It's by the way. I mean, we do this every day. You come into a studio; it's fairly sterile. You have to make it a little more lively. But you've been there. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know what the environment is. You don't know what the temperature is. You don't know who's going to show up and harass you.
Yeah. Oh, well. Absolutely. But it was just, I had a smile on my face all the time. Just so I hope you have a good week, a good show. Thank you for taking
Thank
my
you.
Call. I just got back from Vegas.
Wow.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, not really.
I was about to ask you, Susie, but I know better than to do it. Cheerleader is up next.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Hey there.
A week ago or so, I-Man really, really did me in. He was throwing sucker punches to Nick Saban about what he was going to do out in California. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was totally ridiculous.
Cheerleader, to me, every I-Man call is the same, so I tend to just tune out.
Well, just don't answer it. Just don't answer it. And then the other thing I've been wanting to say to you is that Mike Griffith, the spokesman for Georgia, the sports spokesman, the first time I heard him, I thought he was very arrogant. And I don't look for the worst in people. I look for the best. But I couldn't find anything in the way he was talking and what he wanted to talk about other than Georgia, 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 and nobody else is anything. And I don't care to listen to that. And then another thing that I-Man said, when Nick Saban goes out to California to play Michigan, here's what I want to say to him. Hey, I-Man, Coach Saban and the team coaches, the family, the cheerleaders on the field, in the stands, and the million-dollar Alabama band, they are all going out to California to show the college football world who is in charge. That's what I'm telling you, I-Man. So roll tide, and Paul, I think we're going to do it.
I think you're right. Cheerleader. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be right back. Much more to come. We are only in the beginning of a Friday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome all of you back. Let's get back to the calls. And Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul?
Bub.
Hey, the old boy called you yesterday, said he was tired of your mouth. Does he not have an on-off switch on his
TV? I wish he would call back and we could finish that because he was talking
a big
game. Yeah,
if he would calm down a little bit, I'd like to see if he even had a legitimate gripe or not. He just sounded like he was just out of control there.
Yeah, we never really knew what he was upset about.
No, he just went off on a tangent immediately, didn't he? I enjoyed cheerleader's call a while ago, by the way, but the reason I'm calling today, we've not even made it to the bowl games yet. Transfer portal is open. Recruiting is wide open. We've got hundreds of podcasters out here, Twitter, Instagram. This stuff is just running rampant, man. All these false narratives and rumors. And I just wonder how these coaching staffs even maintain their sanity through all this stuff. It's insane, Paul.
I don't have an answer for it.
Yeah, I mean, do you see it getting any better? Or it's just going to get worse. I mean, at some point, the Power Five conferences are going to have to put some kind of alliance together and put together some kind of a committee or something to get a grip on this, because the NCAA is totally useless. They're like our federal government. They are freaking useless, man.
Well, but the problem is that the most important leaders of college athletics are leaning on the federal government to solve their problems.
Yeah, but I don't understand that. We do not need the federal government involved with this. That's the worst thing. It'll really be a cesspool if that happens. I mean, how many of our problems...
You may be right, but the federal government, I mean, they simply want an antitrust exemption.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just out of control, though, Paul. I mean, what do you foresee in the future, just your opinion,
ultimately you're going to see the biggest leagues break away. I mean, why does the Big Ten, SEC, why do they need everybody else?
Well, honestly, Paul, they're going to have to. Because I'm going to tell you something. This NIL money, they're going to run out of money. These kids are getting greedy. They all think they're worth $2 million a year, and they can't pay all them kids what they're paying the quarterbacks and the big-name athletes. You know, I mean, it's just not possible. But it's going to get worse before it gets better, I promise you.
Hey, thank you. By the way, we mentioned Bill Hancock responded to Rick Scott's letter. I think it's interesting that the executive director of the CFP would respond as opposed to their attorneys. And in his response to Rick Scott, he said, "Knowing how busy you are, thank you very much for taking the time to write about college football." Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, has just responded to Bill Hancock, and you can tell how serious this is. Senator Scott put a tweet out saying, "Breaking, the CFP playoff just responded to my letter with more excuses and still no transparency. FSU football was number 4 before beating number 14, Louisville, without Jordan Travis. But then after that win, the CFP thinks FSU is a weaker team. It makes no sense. Answer our questions." It's so funny. Senator Scott, are you aware that the team that got in over FSU beat the number 1 team in the country? With its starting quarterback, not its third string. Anyway, Tim is in Grapevine, Texas.
Paul, good afternoon.
Hey there.
Hey, I want to tell you, I saw you back, I think it was October, late September, October. You came onto a YouTube show, Bobby Burton's On Texas Football.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed you on that show. It was great hearing your story.
He does a great job.
He really does. He has his ear to the ground. Hey, my quick thoughts on Rick Scott, you know, I mean, yeah, it's tragic what happened to Florida State, but it's not like the committee pulled that out of thin air. It was explicitly written in their criteria. And so what I'd say to Rick Scott is, if you would bet your reelection on FSU beating Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Michigan, Washington without Jordan Travis, then I might take you more seriously. Otherwise, it sounds like grandstanding to me.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I wanted your opinion. So I've been looking at the SEC schedule, obviously, and I hear talk of going to 9 conference games, and I like it at 8, not because I don't want the SEC to cannibalize each other and all that, but because it opens up opportunities in non-conference, and next year it's going to feel like bowl season early on in the season. You got Alabama, Wisconsin, LSU, USC, Texas, and Ann Arbor to play Michigan, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Georgia, Clemson. I mean, that's fantastic. If the SEC goes to 9 games in conference, I don't think that happens. What do you think? And I'll hang up.
Yeah, thank you. I think that may be the biggest question that has not been answered, because if you go back to May, when the decision was made to stay at 8 for next year, there was universal condemnation of the commissioner and the league. And then when we started figuring out what these schedules were going to look like, everyone backed away. And now I think the 9-game schedule could be slipping away. I don't know where it stands from a television standpoint, but because there's a sense that the television networks want more conference games, but I'm not sure. I guarantee you Michigan and Texas, Southern Cal and LSU, those games may be more valuable than some run-of-the-mill conference game. We will take a short break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. As we continue, let's get back to the calls. Adina is up next.
Yay. Paul, I just want you to know that it doesn't get much better than getting to talk to you twice in 1 week. But I need you to understand that I am knowledgeable about football matters. So when I call some of the men that you talk to, I can equal them. So I want you to give me that credit. So because I want you to want to talk to me, because I'm going to be in Pasadena and I need to intersect with you without getting arrested. So here's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was talking to a Florida State fan, and I was trying not to agitate them. So I didn't give them the Alabama mug that I had bought for Christmas. But we got to talking about it, and he seemed like he was, you know, kind of normal. And then the rage came out, like rage. Well, what's happening where I live? It's okay if you don't mention it, but as soon as you bring it up, it's hatred. And I tried to explain, we didn't do this to ourselves. If the whoever rates the people, if they would have moved us up each week as we were getting better. Because I wanted to ask you about that. Is it just kind of a rule that if nobody
I think you just said something. The mistake the committee made was that they never moved Alabama and Texas up when Florida State was fading, and they should have moved them down, but they didn't.
But in that kind of a precedent now that if you don't get blown out, you just stay where you are. See, that's where the problem started.
Well, but they also there's a little bit of chess going on here, where all these people on the committee looked ahead, and they knew the value of the Georgia game for Alabama. So they said to them to themselves, if Alabama beats Georgia, then we're going to jump them up. So, and then as Alabama went up after Georgia, so did Texas, because of the obvious reason, Texas beat Alabama.
Well, it wouldn't have been such a shock to everybody, and I don't think it would have been quite as dramatic if they had moved.
Well, I don't know, Adina, apparently none of these people were listening to me for those 2 weeks, because I kept saying what I thought was very likely to happen, because Florida State really wasn't that good.
But it doesn't matter what you say, because I ask, what if Georgia annihilates you? Then they divert. So they're never going to admit anything, because if Georgia proves how much better they are, they're still going to say, yeah, but they shouldn't have been in there. So sometimes when it's just an ignorant situation, you can't do anything with it, but
the mistake they made was putting Georgia sixth as opposed to fifth. Georgia should have been fifth. But they all got caught up on, I mean, I heard somebody say earlier, it was tragic that FSU, it's not tragic. They aren't that good. I don't care if they won every game. They're not as good as Alabama or Georgia.
They won't admit that. It's like you're not talking to rational football people.
Well,
I mean, when Alabama suffers,
you have a lot of people who just want to give a participation trophy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I need you to go to the doctor, okay? Get your steroids shot.
Believe it or not, I am being treated by a doctor. So it just takes a little time to. I think it's a combination of quite a few things, and mostly it's, I think I've just been doing too much talking lately.
Well, we appreciate you, and you have a good weekend.
Thank you. You appreciate you calling. Let's continue with Jeffrey in Texas. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I just want you to know that I am an owner of the worst of Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, boy, that's...
You are a very funny man.
Thank you.
Also very educated, and I am in Texas, and I've heard everybody talking about how we jumped up to number three, and of course, yes, being a Tennessee grad yourself, we did beat Alabama, and we should have beat them last year, but we didn't, but that's not really why I'm calling you. I want to know your thoughts of, does it concern you that college sports has become all about the money now, as opposed to a free education if you're playing sports?
Jeffrey, I'm trying to remember a time when it wasn't about the money.
Well, I was a high school football player in Texas. We won a state championship. I received several scholarship offers. I chose to join the military instead, because to me, my entire family had always been patriotic. It was about looking out for the best interest of the country. And the fact that a college was willing to pay the professors, to pay for the food, to pay for everything else for you to go was enough. And now with the UIL, it seems to have changed to where now we have pro sports and college is semi-pro sports.
This is true of almost everything in life right now. And it is sad, because I do remember a time when I was young, many millions years ago, where money was a part of it, but it wasn't the overwhelming part of it. But it's been that way for some time. Once television took over, but as bad as it is, there's a lot of benefit for other sports. All the money supports every other sport at the university.
Well, and at a university level, I understand that you have donors and you have, you know, patrons and things of that nature. But now with the UIL.
But Jeffrey, all the donations do not compare to the tens of hundreds of millions of dollars that come from television money. Television is really, it's not because I work at a television network, but that's really what drives sports and entertainment.
It does. I agree. Advertisement has become the way of the world in the United States.
Yeah, and I think it would be great if it wasn't that way, but it's not. And what's ahead is really dangerous because it's compressing, and it's not a level playing field anymore.
Well, you've been a man about for many years. I've listened to you and talked and admire you. I just wanted to get your take on it and what you thought is coming further. Is it always going to be that way? Is it always going to be television and money? Or are
Jeffrey,
we going to get back?
I believe it's only going to get worse. I know that's not what you want to hear on a Friday afternoon. Ralph Stokes played during a different era, and he'll talk about it when he comes in here next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.